So he goes to Egypt. And when he enters Egypt, I think he enters not as a conqueror, but as a liberator. The Persians were cruel, brutal. And Alexander must have been welcomed, absolutely welcomed. Now, he goes to Egypt, and there are three major events in his Egyptian sojourn. We don't know the order in which they occur. We don't. But we know they occurred. He goes to the Siwa Oasis. I'll talk about that. He is crowned as Pharaoh. We'll talk about that. And he founds the city of Alexandria. So we will deal with all three. Let's first talk about the Siwa Oasis and why Alexander goes there. The Siwa Oasis is remote. It is off the beaten track. It is in the west, 38 miles from Libya. In order to get to Siwa from Egypt, you have to cross a really inhospitable desert. Dangerous. How dangerous? Cambyses, the Persian ruler, lost an army of 50,000 men on the way to Siwa. They set out, disappeared, and were never seen again. There are no roads to Siwa. They were going through the desert. Perhaps a sandstorm swallows them, but they are gone. It's interesting, by the way, somebody's going to find them. There are 50,000 soldiers out there somewhere. I have a friend, as a matter of fact, who has a project to look for it. He's going to use remote sensing devices that can pick up metal, and he's going to fly low-flying planes over and try to pick up. I mean, if you've got 50,000 swords somewhere, they will be visible in some way. So I think in the near future, you're going to see Cambyses' lost army. But getting to Siwa was not an easy matter. I mean, I can tell you how remote it is. And I've been there several times. And I remember the first time I was going there. It's an oasis, so it's got its own water supply, but it's isolated. And I remember reading in a book, and I'd never been there, so I read about it, that the language that the people speak there isn't Arabic. It's Berber. That's how remote they are. And the Berber numbering system, it goes 1, 2, 3, many. It stops at 3. You know, so like, how many sheep do you have? A lot, you know, or 3, or 2, or 1. That's the option. And I remember what they do nowadays is the locals at Siwa, they substitute Arabic numbers for 3, 4, 5, and 6. So, for example, they have their Berber number 1, 2, 3, and then when they get to 4, they say Arba, which is Arabic for 4. They say Hamsa, which is Arabic for 5. So they picked up the Arabic numbers. But this place is remote, right? And Alexander is willing to risk it. He knows Cambyses lost 50,000 men, but he's going to go. Now, why? The answer is there is an oracle at Siwa. Now, an oracle is a way of telling the future. There are different kinds of oracles. Egypt had a tradition of oracles. They had oracle statues, statues of the god that supposedly could talk. Now, we don't have any of these statues that seem to suggest the mechanism, you know, like a puppet with a jaw that goes open and close. Don't have statues like that. I think many of these oracle statues were statues in the temple, and a priest hid behind it and spoke for it. That's my hunch. But there are other statues, and we have documents that attest to this. At festival times, the statue would be taken out of the temple and put on a shrine, which was on poles, carried on the shoulders of priests. And during a festival, these statues would be paraded by the priests, and a person, a commoner even, could approach the statue and ask it a question. And we have, I think it's the first signed document in history, of a priest who wanted to be relieved of his duties in a temple. He wanted to move to another town. And he had to get permission of the god. So when the statue was brought out, he approached and he asks, "May I be relieved of my duty?" And the document says the statue dipped down in assent. I think the idea obviously is controlled by the priests, but this was another way that statues could be oracles, could give answers. And as a matter of fact, this was legally binding in court. That is, you had a choice. If you had a legal decision to be made, you could go to a court of elders where there were judges, the elders of the village, and they would make a decision. Or you could go to the temple and ask the oracle statue for a verdict. And it was legally binding. We have actual cases, documents, where statues were asked to settle legal disputes. So-and-so supposedly stole my shirt. And you go to before the statue, and the statue would decide it.